The Right to Ricky Sanchez podcast brought to you proudly by Big Barker Therapeutic Dog Beds for Dogs. Get yours at bigbarker.com/Ricky and Colony Meadery, the official gluten-free booze made from honey of the process for dogs. On the show today, well, there's not a lot going on. We'll do a little bit of Around the League with Ish Smith, and we have a very, very deep, very organized mailbag, and the mailbag pods are always the best pods. Without any further ado, here is Run the Jewels.
We are the murderous pair that went to jail and we murdered the murderers there. Then went to hell and discovered the devil delivered some hurt and despair. Used to have power to push, now I smoke pounds of the push. Holy, I'm burning the bush. Now I give a fuck about none of this shit. Two runner over and out of this bitch. Step into the spotlight.
Welcome to the Rights of Ricky Sanchez podcast. I'm Spike Eskin, along with a guy who is really considering giving up all of the grudges he has against any of the enemies of the process. That is Mike Levin.
No.
Big move by you. No?
No. Incorrect. How's it going? This is, we are in like a weird dinner. It's only basketball. Only yeah. NBA Finals stuff, and sort of just waiting for things to shake out. I got some draft takes, which we'll get to this weekend, but
yeah,
just kind of, we got Elon this weekend, right?
Yeah, Elon Vinokurov, who is always one of our most popular draft. It's been a weird thing because we're so far from actual Sixers basketball. We are still a little too far from free agency for me to, the rumors really have moved me at all. Like, I don't really believe much of anything. So we are.
I was about to eat an almond, and then I just scared myself into not doing it. So just so you know, I pumped the brakes on eating an almond because I'm hungry, but I'll just suffer for the next however long.
I did hear the package. Go ahead, eat the almond.
No,
I already heard the package.
No,
I already heard the package.
No, it's fine.
Well, and here's the other surprising thing before we get going. We are actually recording this. I know this is crazy. During the NHL final, you ate the almond. you don't stand for anything, Mike. You don't really stand for anything. We're recording this during the NHL finals, game 7. All right. Here's my question for you. Let's say I could tell you that for sure, this summer, you have a 50% chance of signing Kevin Durant, Achilles tear and all, to a 4-year max contract. Would you let Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris walk for the 50% chance of signing Achilles torn Kevin Durant?
No.
75%.
Now that I know he can go up, I might start bargaining and knowing that you're flexible. 75% is pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, we think about the odds that we considered good for years around here.
Yeah.
You know, 24%.
1-6-11, baby.
Yeah.
Now just think about, sorry, I'm pivoting, but the guy who tweeted at us saying I am still thinking about the almond, which I didn't eat. But the guy who tweeted us saying that his girlfriend just started listening to the podcast.
Marcel Faults.
Love it. really, I just wish that I had that little of a history with this podcast that I could just sort of go in blind and be like, what's up with this? I don't know. And so just me saying 1-6-11 is such a, now, you know, it's a small, it's a small joke for how long people are listening. 75%.
I mean, the answer is yes.
I'd probably do it. Yeah, for 75%. Yeah, because I do think that. All right, say you let both of those guys walk. You got Durant. You got a year off. With his Achilles, he's going to be out for the year. And then I still do think a team with Ben, Joel, JJ, and like if you can get a fourth guy. Even if it's like, you know, it'd be, I guess, near max or like 20-ish area of cap space, then I think that's still.
No, you wouldn't have that because Durant would make.
Oh, he's a supermax.
Well, no, he's not Supermax, but he's like 30. I think he's like 38 million. And the
That's not Supermax. That's just a big number.
Well,
may as well be Supermax.
Yeah.
Supermax is Supermax more to me around. Like just an exclamation. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think of it in terms of like a adjusted salary. That's a lot of max.
Well, whatever. You would though, right? I mean, you would.
Yeah. I mean, you'd be able to get something with the money that, you know, Durant still costs more than, or it costs less than Jimmy plus Tobias. So you'd have some money left over to go get a couple other guys. And so I think that there's a team next year. If, you know, I think a team with a healthy Durant the year after with Ben and Joel, I think that team just wins the finals. I wouldn't do it easily, but I think that a team with Ben, Joe and JJ and whatever like couple pieces you can get in free agency plus the additions of the young guys, I think that team could compete and maybe win a title. So I would say yes.
What do you think is going to happen? Everything was going to be. I don't mean to be an NBA podcast when I go, wow, the offseason is going to be crazy.
Let's just say, make sure we don't mean to be an NBA podcast. I don't want anyone to get it twisted. Don't for a second think that this is a podcast about the National Basketball Association.
It is not. It is very much not. It is wild to think about what could happen. Like, he could, if he opts in, he's basically ruining the Warriors season next season, which is interesting because he's not going to play. So they can't do anything. And they'll pay an enormous luxury tax for a team that you're pretty sure can't do anything.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to do that. I think some team will gladly, many teams will gladly offer him the 4-year max.
That's crazy, isn't it? Wow.
I think
it's the most debilitating injury sports, really.
For sure. But he is not, his game is not, you know, necessarily predicated upon lift.
Right.
In a way that, like, if Russell Westbrook tore his Achilles, like, that would, you know, you can have your Westbrook takes, but that would hurt his impact on the game a lot more than it would hurt Durant's. So I still think he'll be a very good player coming off of it. So the idea is you have 3 years, it's tough, it's fucking sad, but the last three, like, elite years of Durant's career, probably, with, you assume, the first year when he's coming back from Achilles will be, like, touch and go, like, hit and miss, like, working his way back in.
Only have 2 years.
So, yeah,
Right.
75% year and then two Durant years. And I think you do it. You know, I think if you're Brooklyn, you're in New York, you're the Clippers, I think absolutely. Now's not the time to start like pinching pennies when you could have a chance to get that. I think maybe they say, okay, Durant's not our focus. Maybe you look at it and say, okay, 4 years of Jimmy Butler right now versus 3 years of Durant after this Achilles injury, maybe that makes it closer to you for a 4 year than 3 year, maybe. I don't know.
I would just do it. I would do it anyway.
Yeah, I hear you. I would do it. I think it's different for each team. I could see the argument for the Sixers not doing it because Embiid's health is so, you know, not a given. That to say, well, we're gonna throw away one of his good years because Durant's out for the season, I could see how that's tough to swallow, but I also could see them competing even without those guys this off season or this next season if they have a good off season and arrange the team accordingly. I don't think it's gonna happen, but just, you know, hypothetically.
The Willie Green Apple Podcast 5-star review. We were at 2,390 on the way to 3,000. Just 610 more, and I will have to read all of the reviews from rating 2,000 to 3,000 on one podcast. This comes from JBon10. The subject line is Bayless debate. Hey, Spike and Mike. My friend and I have this ongoing debate involving two very famous Baylesses, which would be Jared and Skip. The debate goes, who would win a marathon race at this exact moment between the two of them? I'm adamant on Jared, who is in peak basketball performance, while my buddy says Skip would win based on some claims of rigorous running regimens made by Skip throughout the years. What do you both think? Love the podcast, TTP, 5 stars.
What?
Come on, Mike.
Is this a joke?
No, who would win in a race? I mean, who would... I mean, look.
Jared Bayless is a fucking professional NBA player. Pretty close to his prime. Skip Bayless is like an old fuck.
Here's the thing. Skip Bayless is in remarkable condition. And I'll say this. I don't know how much Skip Bayless runs, but athletes that run fast for short periods of time, like, think the idea of a marathon is crazy. So I think Jared Bayless might just refuse to run the marathon, and then Skip wins sort of by default.
I mean, that's not the argument, though. That's not the question.
Okay. Let's go right into the mailbag. This mailbag is way... Well, actually, before we get to the mailbag, around the league with the Smith, there are a couple of rumors today that came out. One wasn't even a rumor. I think Rich Paul said if the Celtics trade for Anthony Davis, he's going to be a one-year rental, and don't blame me for that.
Well,
there's also
you do hate to say that.
Yeah. Also, Kyrie Irving fired his agent and is going with Roc Nation to be his agent, mm-hmm. which there is a little bit of a connection between the Nets and Jay-Z. Mm-hmm. Then also, the Mark Stein reported that the Lakers have made available the fourth pick, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram for, what's his name, Anthony Davis, and that the, regardless of what Rich Paul said, Woj reports that the Celtics are in negotiations with the Pelicans for Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
I guess my question is, do you think Anthony Davis goes to one of the teams we've heard, or do you think it's some team out of nowhere, sort of like the Kawhi thing? That takes a chance just because of what happened.
I hope it's some team out of nowhere. Like Denver would be fun.
Yeah.
Like there's a bunch of possible fun opportunities. I think Brooklyn might get Kyrie. And I think they should absolutely go get Davis. And I think
trade for Davis, though.
What?
Really? They don't have anything real to trade for Davis.
I don't agree. I mean, the bummer is that they traded the 17th pick and a pick next year. So now they're not offering first rounders. But like, I think if you're New Orleans, they don't want to bottom out. Like they have Drew. They have obviously Zion, who I think is going to be very good right away. Not like not like lead a team to the championship good, but I think he's going to be like a very good player immediately. And I think they have guys, I think Brooklyn can sort of give, if you build a team around Drew and Zion, and then you bring in like Spencer Dinwiddie and Joe Harris and a bunch of the young guys and a bunch of the picks, like had they had more picks, I would have been interested in that for just like a long-term play and just like value and just like guys that you know are good and that are like good character guys and stuff. And then build around that. And I think that's a playoff team right away. And then you just hope Zion keeps getting better and build from there. I really don't like the Lakers package at all.
Well, at least it's got the fourth pick in it.
Yeah, but it's a shitty draft.
Yeah.
I
have some good big board guys.
I like it. I think there's a lot of really good role players, but odds are those role players are going to be in a couple years able to start on the Nets, you know, like those kinds of things of like, well, those guys are good right now. And if you want to win right now, that kind of thing. So,
the real trade is if it's being offered, you have to trade. Tatum is the trade that they would have to take. That's better than anything.
And if I'm New Orleans, you wait and say, make it Tatum and Brown, you know, try to get both.
Yeah.
Which would be a really very fun team. But Brooklyn, prior to trading that pick to Atlanta for cap space, now they're just like saying, hey, we're in the market for big free agency stars. I thought that was a cool trade there.
All right, Lorenzo Brown mailbag. You can send your mailbag questions to writes2rickysanchez@gmail.com. This one has been in the mailbag for a while. Haven't been able to get to it. I think it's really important, though. This is from Ryan. Hi, Spike and Mike. Great content as always, even though Dave Silver conspired with Twitter to suspend your account, all in order to bring Brian Colangelo to take the reins of the podcast. This was when our Twitter was suspended for about 12 hours. My question is extremely Sixer-specific. What do you think happened to that guy on a previous Brian Colangelo relationship advice segment who was dating a girl and the girlfriend's dad was someone he had previously slept with in a bi stage of his life? Do you remember that? Yeah.
What happened?
Don't you remember the email from the guy or the girl who the guy was dating the girl and met the father and realized that he had slept with the father in a bi stage of his life.
Right, I remember enjoying this very much. What do you think happened? I think that they have not talked about it. That'd be my guess. And they'll never talk about it. Once you don't talk about it like two times in, it's just gonna be like, that's never gonna happen. Until like they get drunk in like 5 years and just like, yeah, well, it's fine. It's been long enough and then they break up.
You what?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He drops it like, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
not his daughter.
Yep, not at all. This is a really personal question that you don't have to answer, but this is from Torin. Mike, if and when you get married, what role will Spike play in the ceremony? Will it be a live pod? How many processed Sixers will make it into your vows?
Wow. Well, if there's like a booing segment, we'll get sharp in there for that.
Yeah.
What role will you... you invited me to your wedding, but I couldn't make it.
Right.
And you'll probably be invited, and you'd sit nicely and quietly, hopefully.
Right, but what is my role, Mike? What
Your
is my role?
You're not officiating.
Now, remember, I invited you to my wedding, but the podcast was only a year old at that point, so it was much longer.
Oh, so I have to beat it, is what you're saying?
I'm just saying we've obviously this has become more of a relationship and all of those things. So I'm just saying I might need a role at like.
The role might be editing the podcast that we do. So you might actually have to do it from home so you can then I'll call in from the groom stand.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we'll have to do one. We might not have to do a midweek one.
Right. It'd be very typical of my relationship to have to like interrupt my wedding for an emergency podcast. I think Alyssa would get that at that point.
Well, can you imagine if she's like the date you look at, you're like,
we have to do a live
July podcast. 2nd.
Sure.
July 2nd.
No. We'll plan it around everything. It'll make sure it'll be like, it'll be after Summerlee. It's going to be all the important dates, trade deadline, draft, playoff run, maybe like early playoff run. It's like, okay, this is fine. But
or early October is a great wedding month. You could just do early October before the season starts.
Yeah.
You know?
We're not even and close just, to I'll, thinking about that, but that is, I'm starting to target it for sure.
I'll make sure the live Ricky.
But the Phillies
like
will be
later
good by that point.
One would hope.
Yeah.
One would hope. Take a break to talk about our sponsor, the Colony Meadery, the official gluten-free booze made from honey of the process. Mike, have you ever gone to a bar with somebody and they're gluten-free and they have to just, like, there's a cider they have to drink and that's basically, that's their only option?
All the time.
I feel bad for that person. Not that there's anything wrong with cider, but there are other options. Mead. It is alcohol made from honey that has no gluten in it. Now, not just any mead. Mead from the Colony Meadery. Why? Well, mead has been around for hundreds of years. It's even in that fucking show that everybody loved, right? And
which show?
Which and that show that just ended that everybody said the last episode was bad.
Oh, sure.
The Wizard Show. And it was even in that. But the thing is that it hasn't been good until Colony Meadery came around. And they perfected it. And they listened to the pod, which makes them better to us. And they're local, Allentown. Mead is it is somewhere in between like wine and cider. But the flavor depends on the flavor that you get from Colony Meadery. They have tons and tons and tons of flavors. Favorite Child, which is a sweet one with raspberry, but also has pepper in it, so it's a little bit spicy. There is Mini Mead, a mead made from raspberry blossom honey. There's Lemon Laws, which is like a lemonade mead. Mm. Tons of different flavors. Like anything lemon to me is a win.
It's summertime.
Right?
Crack it open.
Yeah, how about for summertime, T-Tax, which is the Arnold Palmer mead, is a mead made of Arnold Palmer. No, just kidding. It's like an iced tea lemonade mead.
His ground up remains. Is he dead? He's dead, right?
Arnold Palmer?
Yeah.
I don't know. Why don't you Google that?
He's got to be dead.
Go to colonymeadery.com, Colony Meadery, and Meadery is spelled M-E-A-D-E-R-Y.
Dead.
And look at all the flavors.
3 years ago.
Dead 2 years ago. There you go. And use code Ricky for $5 off. Ricky for $5 off. You can order online, or it's in every Wegmans in Eastern PA, all the foodery locations. It's at Bella Vista, Beer Love. It's at a bunch of bars around here in the Philadelphia area. And like, it's legit, man. If you want another option, you want to drink something different, sweet but not too sweet, Colony Meadery, that's what you do. Again, order online at colonymeadery.com. Use code Ricky for $5 off. Must be 21 to drink. Please get buzzed responsibly. This one's from James, back to the mailbag. If you could go back in time and have the Sixers trade for Kemba Walker instead of Tobias Harris at the deadline, would you do it? So then your starting lineup ends up being Kemba, JJ, Butler, Simmons, and Joel Embiid.
I don't know. I think that changes the team even more than Tobias does. I think there'd be value in Kemba, but I really do think that the reason the Sixers hung with Toronto is because when they had that big lineup in, it was just, they were tough to score on. They could switch a lot. JJ held his own as the only like semi-weak link. I thought Tobias was like a positive defender in the playoffs. I think that it would have been more bad stuff than good stuff with Kemba, even though I think he is clearly a more dynamic player and they could have used him at some points. It's just, you know, I don't think
I'm not sure.
Difference.
Yeah, and I'm not sure Kemba Walker on offense really flies with Butler and Simmons. You know, whoever, I think Kemba Walker's generally pretty overrated, but even if he is the version of what he thinks he is, that's an awful lot of like guys who use the ball a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of Kemba and JJ both flying around screens, screening for each other, popping out. He's turned himself into a really good shooter. But, you know, theoretically, Tobias doesn't move off ball as much, but theoretically, he would give you the same amount of shooting as Tobias.
This one comes from Diane. I thought this is a really good question. What is the percent chance that Ben ends up having a better career than Embiid? While Joel is certainly the better player now, is it absurd to think that over 50%, considering JoJo's durability issues and the fact that Ben is nowhere near his ceiling? This is no declaration that he'll be MVP one day, but the last four MVPs, assuming Giannis this year, were nowhere near as effective as Simmons in their second year.
Yeah, I think
percent chance that Ben ends up
a percent chance that Ben ends up better than Embiid. I mean, durability maybe could be a factor for sure. I don't think Ben's close to his ceiling for sure. I know people focus on the jump shot, rightfully so, but there's, you know, a lot of other areas he can improve, and he's already so good in so many of them. I don't know. I think it's certainly possible. I think if Embiid's healthy for 10 years, then it's probably not possible, because Embiid is just, you know, once in a lifetime. But I think Simmons is pretty close to that if he's not himself either.
So really what you're saying is whatever percentage you would give it is the percentage guess you're making whether Joel Embiid is healthy for 10 years.
Yeah. I mean, weighed against.
Or 7 years.
Weighed against, like, how healthy or whether, you know, what's more likely? Embiid stays healthy for the next, let's say he has a 10-year career, so let's say next 7 years, or that Ben develops a passable, almost just shy of Jason Kidd jump shot. Maybe a poor man's Jason Kidd jump shot.
Man.
I think at this point, it's probably Embiid stays healthy, right?
Which is more likely?
I think that's probably right. I don't think it's unlikely that like Ben develops like a Draymond Green type jump shot where like he doesn't want to shoot, but like occasionally he'll get there. Jason Kidd was like, he could turn himself into an incredible shooter. And that those things just don't happen very often. And I do think that.
And he was not as bad a shooter. I've said this a million times, but he was not as bad a shooter as he's made out to be early in his career, too.
Yeah.
I would put it at, so if Embiid stays healthy, I think it's almost like not impossible, but very, very low percentage chance. And I hate guessing how healthy I think Embiid will be, because I don't want to deal with it. So I do think that there's a weird conversation to be had around like what players' ceilings are. And just because they're young doesn't mean that they're not closer to their ceiling. I think Haralabob made the point when he was talking to Simmons this year before. It was a legendary Simmons podcast, as Haralabob just disagreed with everything he said, which never happens on Bill's podcast. But Simmons was talking about how good Tatum was in the first year, how good he was shooting from three from the corner, and how good that meant he would be in his second year. And Haralabob was like, well, do you think he's going to shoot 60% from three in his second year? Or how much better do you think he can get at that? And I think, you know, sometimes when players are really, really good young, it just means that they got closer to their ceiling early. That's really the equation is like, is it just that Simmons got better younger in his career, or is that, you know, his ceiling is higher because he hasn't evolved? Like Giannis, you could argue when he came into the league was so much more raw than Simmons was. He just hadn't developed as much, so he had more room to grow. I think that's really the question, is how much better can he get at those other things? I don't know. You know, he can get much better at defense, I think. The other things, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, certainly I think it's going to be tough to beat his postseason defense. I think if that is who he is all the time, I think that's, you know, an all-NBA defender. Offensively, I do think there's a lot to improve. I think, you know, finding holes in the defense, screening, moving without the ball, obviously shooting off the dribble. Like, there's a million, he could look, in 5 years, he could look like a totally different player. It's going to come down to work ethic, and because he certainly has the talent and has the athleticism to get there. We'll see. I mean, it's hard to project those things, because there's some things where you look at that and be like, oh, this guy has no upside, whatever. I mean, like, Malcolm Brogdon out of Virginia looked like a, you know, semi-finished product, because he got drafted as a senior. He's already 22 or 23 when he came out. Maybe even older, maybe 23, 24. And
I think he was 24.
Yeah. And like, you know, he's gotten better. Like, he's gotten better and more competent, and you just get smarter on the court as you get older. And he is going to be a 20 million plus player. And if you thought that, you know, nobody, even if you loved Malcolm Brogdon, which I did, and I was worried about the knee injury stuff, but even if you loved him, like, you don't think he was going to be that. So the guys have different, you know, improvement trajectories, and I think a lot of it, and this is what we don't know, as like evaluating, just, you know, as we're around the draft, like evaluating draft prospects, is we're not talking to these guys. We don't know. We're not talking to the people around them to see, like, all right, how do they work? How willing are they to work and stuff? And so we don't know, you know, what that's the same for draft prospects, and it's the same for like NBA players. And there's guys, you know, during the process, there are a million guys who passed through Philly and got on the shirt, and all of them, or at least a lot of them, had like a tremendous amount of athletic ability and like specific parts of the game that they were good at, or like thought the game really intelligently but like couldn't, whatever. And like a lot of it just comes down to like who's willing to like really put the work in and really study tape and really like get better and do all that stuff. And, you know, there's not that much difference in the package of like, you know, Adonis Thomas, who like didn't make it, versus like Torrey Craig, who is like a starter on a really good Denver team. Like, that, you know, I think those are the intangible things that you can't quantify. And who knows if Ben is going to get there, if Embiid also, same thing, has a ton of a ton more upside. You know, who knows?
Well, and there's the, sometimes the guy can work really, really hard and there's just only so much more that they can get. You know, you want a guy that is going to be committed to it. And then there's just, you know, a skill limitation or whatever, you know, it's what makes it so interesting. It's what makes Kawhi's, and we'll get to Kawhi in the next question. Kawhi's trajectory is so strange, not because he wasn't a good shooter in college and they made him a good shooter and that he became what he became. But when he looked like when he won the finals MVP, this guy that we're watching now is so much better than that guy was, almost, you know, like that this fucking ability to ISO and score like this was not there.
Yeah,
like,
it's insane.
It's so bananas to look at it. Like he really did. I think it was Durant in an old tweet. Someone had an old tweet asking him if he'd rather have Kawhi or Paul George. And he said Kawhi was a system player. And it's funny because you look back on it, I think a lot of people, myself included, would have said that he is like an excellent system player. This, whatever the fuck this became, I mean, it's really crazy.
Yeah, know? Insane.
This comes from Nate. Knowing what we know now, so you have all the information you have now, would you have traded Ben Simmons for Kawhi last summer?
Last summer? No, then I wouldn't have sold my show. So I would say no.
You snuck right out of it.
That's right.
I mean, I think you have to, knowing what you know now.
I mean, it's tough. I knowing what we know now in the sense of, like, would the Sixers have... I knew that Kawhi was one of the top three players in the league, like, then, you know? The question is, like, is he healthy? Would the Sixers have managed his minutes as well as Toronto did? Would he have fit with these guys? I don't know. If you know, it's gonna change when it's the off season, and if Kawhi leaves, regardless of what happens in the next couple of days, if Kawhi leaves, and then you say like, well, we got close. There's a chance that the Sixers with Kawhi, not healthy, could have lost in the Eastern Conference Finals to whoever. And then
wait a minute. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, who knows who's healthy? I think it's just hard to do those hypotheticals. But I think if it didn't happen for whatever bullshit reason, then, and Kawhi walks after one season, and then you're like, well, that was close, but now we kind of have to start over, and we just traded, 7 years of Simmons' career for 1 year of Kawhi. I don't know. Tough proposition.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's if he walks. Man, is it going to be the most wild thing in the world if they win the NBA championship and he walks?
I don't think he's going to. I think he'll stay. But I do. I think that would be. I think either way, him walking at this point is a level. It's just like, okay, man. Well, go do what you want to do. But why would you want to start over somewhere and have to build all the stuff? It's like clearly a good system over there. Clearly good management. If they have a guarantee that you're going to be there for the next couple of years, they can, better build around you. People want what they want, but I wouldn't understand it.
This one comes from JD, who gives us a jigsaw. Listener submitted jigsaw. This question is sort of a jigsaw, but also a question, which a jigsaw is a question. So here we go.
Play.
I will play this game.
Game we play.
I will play this game.
I miss you.
I will play this game.
I'm worried. Play.
I will play this game.
And after the game, they were interviewing him, and they said, how does it feel to win the ultimate game? And he said, if it's the ultimate game, why are they playing it again next year?
Mike, would you rather lose every memory you've made up until this exact moment, but keep the ability to make memories? Or would you rather keep every memory you currently have, but never be able to make any new ones? When you lose every memory up until now, it's more like amnesia. So you know how to do basic human stuff and just don't immediately become a giant baby.
Great.
Thanks, hope to hear.
I'm glad that I won't be a giant baby. I would probably pick I would rather lose every memory I have until now and keep my ability to make new memories. Just like living.
I think that's what you have to do.
Yeah, living in the past and then being like, my life ends right now. And I just sort of like wander through the world, like without any short-term memory, I think would be bad.
I mean, look what happened to the Memento guy.
Also, it'd be really nice to forget a lot of stuff. Sixers stuff, plenty of heartbreak and embarrassment and shame. Come on.
Yep.
Wouldn't that be great?
All of middle school, all of high school for me. You know, actually, here's something you have to look forward to. I don't know if it's everybody, and I'm not like so old that I'm forgetting everything now, but I got to tell you, man, I remember very little from high school, grade school, college, my 20s. I barely remember anything. And I don't know if it's because I only have like a couple of friends from college that I still talk to, and I don't talk to that often. And I have like two friends from high school who we talk like three times a year. So maybe it's because I'm not telling those stories over and over again, but I don't remember anything. So the good news is the choice that you made in the jigsaw is actually going to happen to you one day.
Yeah.
It's happened to me. Stop for a second. Speaking of, I don't know if there's a speaking of here, but, the podcast is brought to you by Big Barker Therapeutic Dog Beds. Mike, I have a little bit of dog news for you. So there's going to be a Bark in the Park 5K team for Providence Animal Center again for the Ricky. And last year, we did the t-shirt with Rebel on it wearing the normal collar. Now, I'm not going to reveal the details of the t-shirt that we're going to give away yet. I will say two things, and the second thing will excite you. First of all, Abby, who did that drawing of you and me with Embiid at Bust the Process to Milwaukee.
Oh, that ruled.
Even though you weren't there, she is doing the art. But for even better, I will.
She's doing the art for the new dog bed for patch.
Not yet, but maybe when we do it, she can do it. Yeah, but she's doing the t-shirt. But the second thing is that not only will Rebel be included in the t-shirt, but Donovan is in the t-shirt.
Wow.
Yes. That's Donovan is on the shirt. And I'm not going to give away any other details, but Donovan is on the shirt.
Do you want to...
Back to
did you get a better picture of him? Or what picture did
you get? I didn't need a great picture. The picture I had was good enough.
Okay. I am eating the almond in spirit of dog beds and eating when they want.
Okay.
If dogs can do it, I can do it.
We love dog beds. We love Big Barker dog beds because they're the only dog beds that are actually dog beds. They're actually beds. They are engineered by experts. The first one engineered for dogs over 50 pounds because up to 80% of them develop arthritis as they age. But the Big Barker dog bed is for any size dog. The Barker Jr. for the little dog. Rebel sleeps on a large Big Barker. I think Donovan also on a large Big Barker. You can see the difference when you see these beds. If you care about your dog, like I care about my dog, dog's really the only thing that matters on this earth, then they should be sleeping on a Big Barker dog bed. You got to go to bigbarker.com/Ricky. That is bigbarker.com/Ricky, because if you go there, you get the Big Barker with a process pup patch. And why do you want a Big Barker without a weird culty patch that you're going to have to explain to everyone?
Yeah, you have guests over. You're not going to want to tell them where you got your dog's bed.
Yep. Yeah, you're not going to want to explain the patch. What? I just got a new one. Just got a new one in the email from Ben. Penny Lane, the newest process pup. What a great picture. Send us your picture, your dog on the bed with the patch to writesrickysanchez@gmail.com. We'll put them up on the process pup section of the website. 10-year warranty on all Big Barker dog beds. The foam does not flatten or they will replace it for free. 1 year at home trial. If you don't like it, they will pay to have it shipped back and give you your money back. Handmade in the USA. Big Barker dog beds.
Rawr, rawr.
Next question. This one is from Steve.
Mm.
Why have you guys ignored the real reason the Sixers lost to the Raptors? Need I remind you, it was a minuscule 7 months ago when Dave Silver forced the Sixers to travel to China for meaningless exhibition games. People talk about the difficulty of integrating Butler and Harris in such a short time, but they fail to mention that the rest of the team was still adjusting to their body clocks from Shanghai time. How difficult must it be to run a Butler and Bede pick and roll when Jimmy thinks it's 9 p.m. and Joel thinks it's 9 a.m.? next year will be our year.
Got to agree with that. The China trip, an underreported factor in the Sixers playoff loss 8 months later.
Yeah, I mean, the whole first half of the season, I think, was that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how could you rule it out?
Can you imagine if that trip had happened the year before and the conspiracy theories about Markel losing his ability to shoot in China? Like, if there was something there, that would have been heavy. There would have been something like the government would have been involved. That would have been a real thing.
From Chris, which fictional athlete / basketball player would you have signed to the Sixers roster to help during the playoffs or moving forward? Let's just keep it to during the playoffs.
I'm going
to
say the dead brother from Sixth Man.
I never saw Sixth Man.
He's dead, and he helps balls, like shots go in, and doesn't count towards the active roster. Hence, he's the Sixth Man.
Ah, I would go with Neon Bedeau from Blue Chips, which was Shaquille O'Neal from Blue Chips, I think.
As a backup center.
If we had Shaq. What's that? Yeah, might be a decent backup center.
Okay.
This one is from, oh no, it's another friggin' jigsaw. Hold on. Wait. I had a good one. Where is it? Oh yeah. From Chris. Hey, Spike and Mike, in the event that Jimmy and Tobias leave, how would you like the Sixers to fill out the roster? You guys are the best. I mean, this is a weird question because it involves so many.
I will say just fill out the roster with exclusively second rounders. Trade for the entire second round. Assemble a team. Change their last name from the 76ers to the second rounders. And just lean into it. And just so people, because people love to say, like, Toronto doesn't, this is how you assemble a team. They didn't have to get any number one picks. Like, it's, like, better for some reason. So just lean into it and just say it's Ben and Embiid and then entirely second rounders.
So Rich Hoffman wrote an article in The Athletic that you have to pay for today, breaking down the different free agents. What? What's so funny? You have to pay for the article. I'm just being real.
Sure.
Breaking down the free agents if Jimmy and Tobias were to leave. And I think realistically, the first tier, the first non-superstar tier. So not that Chris Middleton is a superstar, but below that tier, below the Middleton and Kemba Walker tier. Because obviously, if they could get, max money on Chris Middleton, almost as bad as max money on Tobias Harris. Below those guys, the tier below those guys is Brogdon, Bogdanović, and Danny Green. All three guys would be really, really effective players on the Sixers. Then there's the centers. There's Dedmon and Kevon Looney, which if you wanted to overspend, you could certainly overspend your way into Dedmon without a problem. I think you could overspend your way into Bogdanović. And I think both guys would help. And that's if you're holding on to Redick as well. And then there's like the mid-level exception level, which is Pat Beverly, Jeremy Lamb, Trevor Ariza, Damari Carroll, Wes Matthews, George Hill. We've been talking about Pat Beverly on the Sixers, it seems like, for 10 years now. So I would love to see that actually happen. And I think Jeremy Lamb would be a pretty good player on the Sixers, too.
Yeah.
So, but who knows, right?
Yeah. I don't think of Jeremy Lamb as a particularly effortful defensive player, but I could be wrong on that. I know he gets a decent amount of steals, but I don't think of him like defending his position well for some reason. I think if you could get like Brogdon and Bogdanović and then re-sign Redick, I don't know if you could for the money that you'd lose with those guys.
It'd be a lot of shooting, by the way.
Yeah, a lineup with Brogdon, Redick, Bogdanović, Simmons, Embiid is pretty damn good.
All right. We'll end it on this one. Mike, you know we're in the off season when we're going to do a double jigsaw podcast. That's right, double jigsaw. This one comes from Brad, another listener submitted jigsaw. Everybody doing my work for me. Currently traveling through Spain and had someone suggest a jigsaw that I feel would be perfectly honest for the podcast, or I feel would be perfect for the podcast. You're in a foreign country where you don't speak the language. You're out with your friends so that you're traveling. You're out with your friends that you're traveling with and realize that your phone is about to die. So you write down the address you're staying at on a tissue so that you can taxi home at the end of the night. Later on that night, after losing your friends, you're desperate in need of the bathroom and not the kind of bathroom you can do against a tree. You rush in, drop your pants, and let loose. Then you realize there's no toilet paper. The only thing that you have that you could substitute for toilet paper is the tissue with your address on it that you were handed hours ago. What do you do?
I mean, I'm heading home though.
Yeah.
I mean, you sit with your shit pants and get to the place you have to get.
You go shit pants in the cab.
Yeah. It's a cab in a foreign country. I don't give a shit. I'm sure that happens all the time.
I bet it does. Yeah, give him a good tip. What's the difference?
And you tip well. That's fine.
Yeah. I mean, that's about all we got. There's a Tobias Harris to the Nets rumor.
Sure.
I still maintain if the Sixers pay both guys, they're not going anywhere. But we'll see.
Yeah, I agree. And I hope it happens. Honestly, I know you're less there, but just like run it the fuck back and let's win a title and let's not give a shit about the last couple of years. And if Embiid is healthy and Simmons continues to get better, then like we'll figure it out. You offload one of those guys with a first round pick and you just figure it out. Run it back. They should be in the finals right now. Like, just run it the fuck back. Let's win some titles.
Boy. Well, I mean, as uninteresting as a time as we are now, like in 2 weeks, it's going to get crazy.
I'm in draft prep mode, baby. This is my fucking era. I love this shit. It's the best. Well, everyone's going to be good.
Okay, so let me ask you this with the draft. We have Alon on Sunday, and then the draft is on Thursday. When do big boards come out with the Alon pod? What do we do? Do we release a big board only pod? Because we're going to have to do a pod the night of the draft.
Let's do big board, we'll do a midweek pod the Tuesday or Wednesday before the draft.
Okay, and then maybe we do Tuesday and then draft is on Thursday.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have you better have a ton of draft takes the night of the draft because I'm not going to have any reaction.
Come on.
Right.
That's all I'm fucking, that's my whole thing.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I'm ready.
All right. We will talk to you on Sunday with Alon. Are you down with TTP?
Yeah. You know. Lick face.
We are the murderers there. That went to jail and we murdered the murderers there. Then went to hell and discovered the devil delivered some hurt and despair. Used to have power to push. Now I smoke pounds of the kush. Holy, I'm burning the bush. Now I give a fuck about none of this shit. Chew runner over and out of this bitch. Step into the spotlight. Uppers and downers get done. I'm in a rush to be numb. Dropping 1,000 ain't much. Cup on the clouds on a missile.